Okay, we're going to talk today. I thought I was kind of done, but I'm going to tie everything together today. I've been preaching on what's my gift, and I kind of wanted to go to Colossians today, but it didn't work out. The Lord kind of wanted me to finish this off a little bit more. So we're going to talk about how to grow in our gift, okay? There are certain things that we need to do. Now, we fortunately have a bodybuilder here today, so we might have him come up and do some examples in a little bit. No? You know, I know when I went bodybuilding, yeah, okay. There's a difference, you know, in bodybuilding, they talk about plates, right? See, I thought they talked about a plate of food. I didn't know what that meant, you know. What are they, about 40 pounds, 50 pounds for a plate? I suppose they're very, yeah. That's about, you can heap a lot of noodles on there, you know, and get some pretty good plates. But anyway, you know, but have you yourself ever considered yourself a bodybuilder? You know, bodybuilders are very disciplined people in their approach to beefing up. They really have a plan, and they work that plan. One day's leg day, one day's arm day, or however they all do that. I did it for a little bit, but it made me hungry, so it didn't accomplish what I wanted. I wanted to do it to lose weight, but it made me hungrier, so I just ate more, so it didn't really work for me. Gonna have to figure out something else. But anyway, the goal is to work each muscle so it gets to its optimum working position. Or condition. And it takes more than big arms to lift something, doesn't it? It takes strong legs. You know, I know some people's got big arms, they can't lift hardly anything because they got little skinny legs, you know. I'm not mentioning names right now, it's all good. We're not going there, but you know, that's how it works. You know, you got to have all your body working good. If one of your pieces of your body is hurting, you know, you can't really do things. If your leg's hurting, you can't lift everything that you used to be able to lift. And so it's good to have everything, you know, working right. So each part has an important role to play. And, you know, we really, like I say, don't know how important all our body is until you injure one thing. I remember right when we started the church, I think within the first year, I had my appendix out, you know, and being young, you know, you recuperate pretty quick, but I had some issues with mine. But anyway, they cut into your belly muscles. And you don't think you really need your belly muscles until you go to sit down. And then you find out how important your body is, right? Your belly muscles. So each part of our body, and that's why we need to see that, you know, we're each very important to God, because God knew what he was doing when he made so many different parts of the body. We've been going through that a little bit. We just really scratched the surface in this series, you know, talking about the Romans 12 gifts, and there's so much more to it. Now, the passage I'm going to read today is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. And this passage follows the fivefold ministry. Remember, I kind of glanced on, you know, the Ephesians 4 and the 1 Corinthians 12 giftings. Now, this here's right after where it talks about the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And it talks about those ministry roles and what they're supposed to do. Those ministry roles are to teach us and to train us so that we can be more proficient. Like if you was going to lift weights or do something and you did or work out, you know, a lot of people hire trainers. Why? Because a trainer has been there. The trainer knows how to do it. And see, that's hypothetically what the fivefold ministry is supposed to do. We're supposed to train, you know, you so you can do the work at the ministry. That doesn't mean we don't do our part either, but it just means that we all want to get to the place. So this is very important that we understand this concept here. So it says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by whatever joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Let's pray. Amen. Father God, I thank you so much for the stirring of the Holy Spirit in each of our hearts today. You know, just how important it is that we need each other, that you created us for fellowship, not only with you, but with each other. Lord, we all each have our part to play. Help us not to shrink back in fear, but Lord, to press on in faith. I thank you for the gift in me, Lord. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I thought this would be a good passage to follow up on when we talked about, you know, the concept of what's my gift. So it's how we grow in our gift. You know, we have to grow in it. You know, God said here specifically, he doesn't want us to remain as children, okay? And sometimes, you know, we do. And the Bible talks about that in other passages. You know, that, you know, and when I talk about maturity in Christ, it's not by years of service, it's by revelation and application of God's principles in your life. You know, there's people that could be in church for 20 years and are hardly any smarter or grown any since the day they said I do to Jesus, you know. So it doesn't matter about how many years, although that does play a part. You know, I believe if you just pay attention, you'll grow. You know what I mean? But then also you have to apply it, and that's what we're going to see here today a little bit. So we're going to look at the idea of, you know, grow up, get connected, and then build the body. Remember, our quote for this series has kind of been, our ministry is fueled by grace, attained by faith, and labored in love. See, it's the grace of God that helps us do everything in the ministry that he's called us to do, no matter what it is. I know that a lot of times when, you know, God tells us to do something, or we feel led to do something, or somebody asks us to do something, and the first thing out of our mouth, I can't. Well, I know that. But he that's in you can. And see, we got to see that. That's grace. And how you do that, you may not be the best when you start out, but just like with anything else, if you're growing in Christ and utilizing your gift, you're getting better. You're getting a lot better in the things of God. Then, you know, the idea of attained by faith, it takes faith to do anything in the kingdom of God. You know, faith is how we make a transaction with God. You know, it's not by unbelief, but we have to have faith. And the Bible says in, what is it, Hebrews 11:6, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I mean, faith has its reward. Amen? And so it's worth it, people. It's worth it. And then labored in love. You know, we're going to have to do it by love, because sometimes you're going to help people that are hard to help. Right? Sometimes you just surround that. And they may not say thank you like they should. They may not be as appreciative as they should. But if you do it for Jesus, amen, with that attitude, I'm doing this for Jesus, you know, there's your reward right there. Doesn't matter what they do. Okay, so let's jump right into this, talking about growing up. You know, we need to measure up, it says here. You know, when you're a little kid, and I don't know, whatever reason, but this is the one of the things I really like in a family. A lot of people have that place on the doorpost where the little scratches are. This is when you're 4, this is when you're 5, this is when you're 6, you know, and you kind of see the progressive growth in a child's life. Why do we measure that? Because it's important. We want to see them grow up, you know, and see, it's like that, you know, also, you know, in the things of God, you know, we need to see progress. You know, like it said in the scripture, you know, we are not to stay a child. We're supposed to have childlike faith where we trust, but yet we're not to remain a child, because God wants us to mature. He doesn't want us just to drink milk. He wants us to have steak every now and then. Amen? You know, if you're a vegetarian, I'm sorry. I don't have an analogy that would be like steak. I can't think what it is right now. But, okay, maybe black beans, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, God wants us to grow. The word grow, pretty self-explanatory. It means increase. That means more than you had before. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow in him. And, you know, life throws its challenges, right? You know, physical growth is automatic, but spiritual growth is not. You know, and how you can tell how you're growing spiritually is, you know, when, you know, we're all under attack from time to time, right? We all have problems. You know, if you never have a problem, you know, God bless you, you know, but maybe you're not doing nothing. I mean, I don't know, maybe you're not a threat to the devil if you never have a problem, because if you're a threat to the devil, he's going to make sure there's a problem coming your way. And when those come our way, when we're a baby Christian, we need some help through some of those things. They kind of knock us off our feet. You know, babies kind of wobble when they walk. You know, but when you're, you know, a grown man or grown woman, you know, as those attacks come and as you mature in Christ, the devil can't knock you off your footing anymore. Because Jesus Christ is our foundation, praise God. And it's like you got stick them on your shoes. You're not going down. And see, that comes by maturity. When you mature in Christ, those trials sometimes get bigger. I'm not saying they don't upset us every now and then. But for the most part, you know, as you get older in the things of God, you know, it takes more to get you off your game. Amen?
Amen.
And that's how it should be. That means we've been growing. That means we've been maturing. So that's kind of tells just kind of how things are working. You know, it says that, you know, no longer to be a child just tossed around. See, we can't really play the baby Christian card forever. We need to grow up and assume responsibility. You know, and that just means we got to start getting her done. And it's important because, you know, as you walk in maturity, and anytime you do this, remember we're talking about growing up, getting connected. See, that's where some people lose the link in the chain, is the fact they don't want to take the next step. You know, they want to maybe grow up a little bit, but yet working with others. How many think working with others is easy all the time? Anybody? You know. You know, sometimes, you know, God will sometimes, I guess, test us. He'll put somebody on our team that we don't really like to play with. You know what I mean? You ever had that happen? You know, now, instead of just enjoying this thing, you're going to have to really work on your attitude. We're going to have to really work on the things, you know, in our life, you know, that keeps us, you know, walking in spiritual things. And so a sign of maturity is to be able to bite your tongue and work well with someone who doesn't do it your way. There's a lot of people that don't do it your way, aren't they? Have you found those out? There's a lot of them out there. They just can't believe how smart you are, just how good you are at everything. And you just make, you know, great decisions all the time. And, you know, they just don't see you for who you really are. But yet those are sometimes the kind of people, you know, the Bible talks about iron sharpens iron. You know, we think that's talking about just preach each other up all the time. No, that's talking about sometimes when you rub on something that's abrasive, you get shiny, don't you? You get shined up a little bit. And see, that's how this works as we're growing up and walking in maturity. But it says that, you know, we need to speak the truth in love. How important is it to speak the truth in love? It's got to be in love. See, a lot of times we just speak the truth. We just tell them like it is, right? You know, I don't know how many people I've heard over the years, they come up and say, well, I just tell people like it is. And I just said, man, you must not have very many friends, you know, in life, because if you actually told people everything that come to your mind, you wouldn't have a friend on this world. Your dog wouldn't even like you no more. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. You can't just say everything we want to say. Just sometimes we've got to bite our tongue. Sometimes we just got to keep it in and try to maybe turn it around where we're speaking in love. See, love is important. Matter of fact, the Bible says love never fails. Now, as we speak the truth in love, you know, this Greek word means that, you know, we're talking about needing to have corresponding action that lines up with the word. See, the Bible says don't be a hearer, but a doer, okay? It's very important that we don't just hear the word. I love hearing the word. You know, and I love, that used to be the main thing that I was really going for all the time in life, is this hearing the Word of God. You know, and then, you know, I found out how important worship was. Has anybody ever figured that one out yet? You know, I found out that if you don't like to sing, I'm going to hate heaven. You know, just that way it is, you know. There's going to be worshiping in heaven. And so we need to be, you know, make peace with that. Because I used to be in the Word. But see, the Bible talks about how important it is to do the Word of God. That means when God reveals a truth to you in the Scripture, rather through you reading, rather through somebody preaching or something like that, you know, there's going to come an opportunity in your life where you can use that Scripture and do exactly what it says, or we can just blow it off. Well, if we blow it off, we don't grow. But it's when we do the Word of God, when we do what God says, you know, and that's very important that we place, you know, that in the center of our universe, you know, being obedient to God. And what I like to say is just keep it real with God. I mean, a lot of people think we can hide from God or keep secrets from God. Have you ever had a thought, man, I hope God doesn't figure that one out. I hope God don't hear that thought, but He's already heard it. You know, God knows everything. And that's okay. He still loves us. Amen. He knows that we fail. He knows that we have some problems. God's not going to kick you to the curb. He's just a loving father. You know, I mean, I'm an earthly father. I'd like to think I did okay, but I know for sometimes I used a measuring stick, you know, in more ways than one. You use a stick one way or another. You know, but that measuring stick, the kids had to measure up. But see, God, he's a loving father. Not saying he hides everything. He wants us to, you know, fess up and deal with it. But God will never think less of you. Never think less of you because of what we've done. That's the love that he has. And just think, that's the kind of love that we really need to show to each other. We need to love them. We need to make sure. And so by keeping it real, that's one of the ways it is. You know, God accepts me, so I need to accept others. And that means we need to walk the talk. Now, you know, personal growth needs to be visible, not just in our mind. Have you ever been a legend in your own mind? Come on now. I think we all have, right? You know, we just think we're the best thing. We just think we get it right all the time. And, you know, that, you know, God just looks at us and just says, wow, look what I created. You know, my land, man, that was something. They've just turned out so good, you know. But see, we kind of have that opinion about ourselves, and so we got to make sure that we have that in other people's. And how we do that, too, is that we learn how to grow in our gift. And our gift is very important because God gave it to us. And that means we grow by action steps, because teaching can only take us so far, like I say. You know, you can hear the word. You got to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We need to hear the word. You know, you can read the word to yourself, can't you? Out loud. You know, faith comes by hearing. It's okay to read it in quiet, but you know, sometimes you just got to hear it. Sometimes you just got to speak it. Speak the word of God. Amen. You know, maybe the devil's messing with your stuff. Maybe messing with your kids. You know, I found out in life, sometimes I'll allow the devil to mess with me longer than I should, because, you know, but you mess with my kids, that's different. Then I get really kind of vocal, you know, downright violent sometimes, you know, praying through for breakthrough. And that's important. Yeah, we do that. But, you know, we need to grow by steps of action. And I've shared this before. I got saved and went to Bible school, and within a year, you know, I didn't feel comfortable talking in front of adults. You know, I had a couple issues, you know. I was kind of afraid I might cuss. I know that sounds stupid, but I was afraid that I might cuss sometimes when I was doing something. And I didn't want to do that in front of those other Christians. I just thought they were so spiritual. So I kind of was, you know, I didn't pray in front of adults very much. So God, what he did is he had the Sunday school superintendent, or whatever they want to call him, asked me to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, I could talk in front of kids. That didn't bug me a bit. Well, that's how I grew. See, I couldn't handle maybe being here, but I could handle being over there. And so that's how I learned. Then I got better, and before you know it, I felt more comfortable in my giftings and callings. And then I started to pray in public, you know, but I didn't start there. I had to start where I was at. And that's what I challenge you to do today. Start where you're at. You know, get involved. You know, start to utilize the gift that God's put inside of you. And you're going to see it grow. You're going to see it mature. And what's going to happen is you're going to become confident. Confident in the things of God. I'm so proud of our church. Like, we do this community prayer in town, and we have a really great turnout. And my people pray out loud a lot of the times and stuff, because that's what it is. They just take turns praying and stuff. Nobody has to pray, but, you know, it's just so cool to see. You know, that they step out and do those things. And we do that monthly on the third Thursday. So if you'd like to do it, or if you know, here's how I'm going to tell you this. Unless God tells you not to come, I'd say come. Amen? Amen? That's just how I look at life. Go until God says no. You know, that's how I live life. You know, and hasn't failed me yet. You know, just keep on trucking. Doesn't matter. Okay. Now, the second point after, you know, growing up, we need to get connected. Now, I want you to picture this. You probably can easily. A leaf will dry up and die if it disconnects from the tree, right? We all know that. Or a limb gets broken. It'll dry up and die. And see, a lot of times, you know, that's where we are spiritually sometimes. We fail to get connected. We go so far. You know, like that scripture we looked at in Revelations a couple series back. Remember that? Jesus was knocking on the door, you know, of the Christian, you know, of the church there, of the Christians. He's on the outside knocking to be in. They were disconnected. And see, sometimes we can allow ourselves, I'm not talking about eternal security here, or losing your salvation. I'm talking about drying up spiritually in your walk with God. How we need to keep that alive and stay connected to God. So a leaf will dry up when it disconnects from the tree. And see, What we'll find out in life as we grow, and I never learned this till late in life, because I was raised to be independent. That's just how my mom raised me. You know, for whatever reason, you know, she raised me that I was self-sufficient. I didn't need anybody. I could just do it myself and be done, you know, in some ways. And that's how it worked out. Well, that sounds all fine and dandy in American culture, but in the kingdom of God, that don't work. That's backwards. That's backwards to how God wants it done. See, it's what we do with others is always better than what we do alone. See, we may think that doing it alone, look what I did, look at this, look at that. But who do you celebrate with? I guess three people, me, myself, and I. You know, I guess a little lonely. They say it's lonely at the top, which shouldn't be. See, it's what we do with others, what we celebrate with others. What we get to, when we do something as a team and working together, that's what brings great joy. That's what we were created for. God created us for connection. It's the devil that has come into our life and disconnected us and made us so in some areas where we're afraid to trust. Maybe you've been hurt in a relationship. You know, maybe through divorce or whatever it be. I mean, we've all had a friend stab us in the back. We've had all those things happen to us. Maybe you've been hurt in a church. I hope not, but it happens sometimes. Don't let that stop you from being connected, because we were created for connection. That's what God wants us to do. And when we do that, we become stronger, because we come stronger together. See, accomplishments are far more rewarding when we have someone to share them with. When I mentioned I got saved out in Denver in November, and I went to Bible school in January, just hopped right in, you know what I mean? I didn't know any different. Well, to me, Bible school was the greatest part of my life. I still look back at it with very fond memories, because I came from knowing nothing and went to school. You know, I never started till a little later. I had about a year and a half Bible training is all I really had in life. But that time, I was like a sponge. I was just growing. And we have Bible school here. People are coming. And I just encourage them, you know, let that be a sanctified time. Don't let anything get in your way of your time with God. It's very important. So when I graduated from Bible school, you know, I felt so proud. But the problem was, you know, my family were farmers, and Bible school graduation was right when the crops had to go in. I had nobody to celebrate it with, you know, and it felt alone time for me. The greatest accomplishment I felt I've done in my life, I had no one to share it with, you know, and it just kind of zeroed in on me a little bit. Now, my wife's family, they all came out, you know, and they tried to include me and stuff. We weren't married yet, but we were probably engaged. Not quite engaged, anyway. It's all a blur in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Thought the 70s were bad, you know. But, you know, anyway, the... Yeah. So, you know, all that, how it plays together, and that's why I see that, you know, we need each other, because we're better together. Because here's what happens. Working together for eternal results, that's awesome. When you and I work together for eternal results, when we do some sort of outreach or do something to try to make a difference in somebody else's life. And, you know, I'll be honest, as a pastor now, you know, when I used to do more of the hands-on, I still do. But, you know, I remember the feeling I had when I helped somebody. But now I even get a greater feeling when I watch one of you do it. I consider myself your spiritual father, and you're one of my children. And when I see my children walking in the things of God and doing the things of God, oh man, I feel so proud. I feel so proud of you. As you step out and you do those things, and when you're doing things for the kingdom of God, because to me, kingdom business is family business. It's a family business. When I worked on a farm, it was a family farm. We worked together. We did it together, even when I didn't want to. You know what I'm saying? You know, and it's like that with the church. You know, it's a family business. We're all family. We're part of God's family. And as we've all found out before, is that we are stronger when we stand together. You know, we can be able to handle more obstacles. You know, just like on all the nature shows, the little deer that runs off all alone, that's the one who gets eaten, don't it, as a rule. The ones who stay in a herd, you know, it's safer there. There's safety in numbers. And we're there for each other. And if you have a problem, I hope we're there for you. You know, let us know and we'll pray for you. Do what we can. You know, be a part of your life. And, you know, this is the key. You know, I believe that, you know, we have to put our heart into it. But see, when we put our heart into something, that's when it's meaningful, isn't it? You know, you got to really put your heart into it. Have you ever went through the motions in anything? Just going through the motions. You know, a lot of times at work, sometimes, or maybe even in a marriage, you're just going through the motions. Just doing what the minimal what has to be done. But see, when we put our heart into something, that means we're giving of ourselves. And see, that's what we need to do. We need to give of ourselves to the things of God, to the church, and to want to see things happen. You know, want to reach out to the community and bring people in. You know, we have a heart for kids. You know, maybe, you know, some kids' parents don't want to come, but they need a ride. You know, reaching out and give them a ride. Bring them to church. Making a change in their life. Seeing their lives changed. See, that's what it's all about. That's what we want to see happen. It's to change this world, you know, maybe one person at a time. So, as we grow in Christ, and then we get connected, and then what we do is we build the body. Now, you can look at this at your leisure. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 to 27. It's quite a passage. But it goes into things talking about the foot, the hand, and the eye. You know, how each part is really necessary. You know, remember in this series, we looked at prophecy, which is the eyes of the body of Christ. Service is the hands of the body of Christ. Teaching is the mind of the body of Christ. Giving is the arms of the body of Christ. Exhortation is the mouth of the body of Christ. Administration is the head of the body of Christ. And then you have mercy, which is the heart of the body of Christ. How all these things, all these gifts are necessary. Well, that talks about how important it is. Remember I said that how important it is to stay connected. You know, what we're going to find out in life is how interdependent we are of each other, okay? We're interdependent. Now, as I said, when I was just got saved, and I was more independent in a sense where, you know, I didn't really need anybody. And getting married and learning all those things, you know, and coming to Christ, you know, I was kind of independent. And as I get older, though, you know, we've been married for 37 years. She's, I was just testing her, see if she remembered. But I've witnessed firsthand in my life how interdependent I am on somebody. And when I first started out in life, I would have never let that happen. Because that would have made me vulnerable. That would have meant I need somebody. You know, and that was so foreign concept to me growing up. Because I was raised to be self-sufficient. You know, and maybe you're that way too. I'll tell you, interdependency is better. I mean, there's a joy and a strength that comes from being interdependent on somebody that you know you can count on. And hopefully you can see that you can count on us as a church, that we'll be there for you. We'll fight the good fight of faith with you. You know, we'll stand in your corner. Matter of fact, we'll stand in front of you if you need us to, you know, to beat back the devil. But that just comes by learning. Remember, you know, that leaf, you know, is dependent on the branch. And if it doesn't, you know, and see the branch is dependent on the trunk and the trunk's dependent on the roots. You know what I'm saying? It just all catches together. So we get stronger when we understand how much we need each other. That's where the strength comes from. And we learn how to harness that strength. See, the world says that we're weak when we need help from others. And that fear of weakness keeps us from reaching out. We need to see that as a lie of what it is. You know, I mean, when I first got saved, a lot of people, I haven't heard this said lately much, but Christianity's a crutch. You know, that's all they say. Oh, Christianity's a crutch. That means you can't handle it. I know, I can't. I tried the world. I took everything the world had, did everything the world had to offer. It wasn't good enough for me. It only got good enough when Jesus came into my life. Amen? Amen? Amen. And he started to bring me through it. See, Ephesians 4:16 talks about the proper working of each part. Now, That word proper is talking about measure of capacity. Measure of capacity. Remember, capacity is capability or competence, right? We all have maybe certain things that we're good at. Now, as I've shared before, this is a prayer I pray constantly for myself. I pray it all the time, and maybe you want to pray it for yourself. I pray, Lord, increase my competence so that you can increase my capacity. Okay? I want to do more for God, but to do more, I got to get better. I'm limited right now. See, we are our own limitation. God is limitless. We're limited, right? Everybody on page with that? So the more we allow God to come into our life and the more we're willing to grow and accept from Him, then that increases what we can do. Because different people have different gifts and different capabilities of what they do. And what I found out is faithfulness helps us to operate at a higher capacity. You know, don't take this personally, because I don't take it personally for me, is the fact that we may not be the best in the room, but we can be the most faithful. And guess who God's going to use? You know what I'm saying? Faithfulness. That opens a lot of doors. There's some people that are better preachers, better talkers, better singers, but if you're faithful, God's going to make a way. Because you can't stop faithfulness. I mean, it's just something that is inside of us that God, you know, it doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what anybody says, I can't. I know that I can't, but you can't, through me can. I want to be faithful to you. I want to do it for your glory, not my own. I want you to get all the credit. And see, that's important that we see that, because that faithfulness will help us to operate that way. And see, no part is less a part of the body. Now, let's say hypothetically, you know, I'm not preaching till lunchtime, I know that, but, you know, let's say some of you forgot to eat breakfast, you know. A lot of kids come to church and hungry, you know what I'm saying? They just need I said, dude, you can't eat a piece of toast or something before you come here, you know? Now we're scrounging up something for to eat, and we're busy, you know, trying to get stuff done, but, you know, just eat a piece of toast, that'll hold you over. But let's say you're hungry right now, you know. Well, you got to go to the refrigerator. What's that going to take? Well, your hand can't get there to grab the food unless it's foot. Your foot takes you there, right? Your feet have to take you to the refrigerator. You got to reach out and grab it. And before you can grab it, you got to see what you're getting. I mean, you don't want to get something all, you know, been there for a month or two, you know, sitting in the back. No, it takes all these different parts of your body to accomplish that simple task, just to get it to your mouth. Well, it's kind of like that in the kingdom of God. Different people have different functions and parts to play in the body of Christ. You know, if let's just say you're a friendly type person. We got any friendly type people here maybe? I don't know. Anybody else? Anybody out there? Anybody? Amen. Well, guess what your role could be? Come a few minutes early to church, and when you see somebody sitting by themselves, go talk to them. Be friendly to them. You may not be able to preach a message, but you can love on them. Amen. And they feel like that they feel welcomed. And then they stay, and then they get a chance to hear the Word of God. You're just as important as I am. Amen. Because you've done your part. Amen. See, that's how important the body is. Interdependency. You know, I can only spin so many plates. You know what I'm saying? You know, you've probably never seen that for a long time. Back when I was a kid, they always had these sticks, and a guy would spin a bunch of plates and try to keep them going, see how many could go. You know, there comes a limit that only one person can do. And it's like that, but if we do it together, you know, it's very important. See, greeters, you know, make you feel welcome. You know, they kind of work the crowd, and you don't have to stand at a door, like I say, to be a greeter. You know, you can greet in here and work the crowd a little bit and make them feel welcome. You know, I want you to think about something. If somebody came to your house and you let them in, and you're both sitting in the living room, and you ignored them, would you do that? Would you let somebody come in your house and sit down, and then you never say a word to them? Probably not, would you? That would be a bad host, right? Well, guess what? This is your house. Amen. Amen? This is your house,
yes.
You know? And when somebody comes into your house, Make them feel welcome. Make them feel they're appreciated. Amen?
Amen.
So we need ushers. We need teachers. We need sound and video. Nursery. I can't speak enough, but we need more nursery workers. You know, I would take a week, but then, you know, I'd have to be in there and not here. I suppose I could preach from over there. I don't mind watching kids. I like kids. Then we need hospitality people. All these things. And they're just important ministries. And, you know, when I first started out, I mean, I started out as ushering too. You couldn't tell me I wasn't spiritual being an usher. That was like serving God. You know, when God asked, you know, when I went to serve, when I ushered, man, you know, I held my head high and, you know, I was helping people find a seat and I was passing the plate and passing it again if we didn't get enough. Let's send that one back again. You know, no, we didn't do that. But, you know, I felt good about that because I was serving people. I was making them feel like they're welcome. And, you know, that's a great feeling. And I'll be honest, a lot of times I've had better feelings being an usher than I have preaching sometimes, you know. But, you know, it's all part of that. So, see, we can be judged as a church based on our body parts not working. Now, we've all been pulled up lame, right? Have you ever pulled up lame? You know, I've been battling my leg issues for a little bit. And you don't cut your leg off because you hurt your leg, right? No, you restore it. It's a labor of love. So closing here is, you know, the challenge is simple. This is what I really want you to think about, is desire to grow in Christ, get connected to the local body, and start to build the body in a spirit of love. And that comes by being a part, showing up. You know, maybe you're listening today and you like listening from home, but you don't come here. I encourage you to come, maybe a couple times a month.
Amen.
Get connected. Start to build relationships. You know, because when you get under attack, that's going to be handy in your life. Not to mention, you know, it's best to be in the building than it is, you know. I know the Holy Ghost is everywhere, but it's funner here, isn't it, people? Amen? You know, funner is a good word, but it is funner. You know, for me anyway, I like it. But anyway, so we're going to close now in prayer.